Hello, hello, a heart refined friends. It's good to be with you on your drive time, your jog time, your laundry time, whatever time it is. I just feel blessed to be with you. So this week's recordings were supposed to be pre-recorded prior to last week, which I had surgery. And whenever this time that you hit this, the surgery that I had was on December 1st, a full hysterectomy, just crazy business going on where it was necessary. So I really did intend on having everything ready so that as I came into this time post-surgery that I could just rest and relax and all that. Well, pre-surgery, I was in such a space of feeling so bad. I've been anemic for a long time. And I really, it's interesting where I'm going to head with today, what we're talking about. I'm going to head with my holistic clients more in this next season, because what we don't understand when our bodies are not oxygenated, how it deprives us and how then we can't function well. And so on both a physical and spiritual level, holistically, we need oxygen and to be able to move forward. And so that's where I was moving into that week before. I didn't have the energy because my body was just not oxygenated. I'm in a better space right now, still healing, still got a ways to go, but my brain is more fresh and real than it's been in a while. And so as I was preparing for today, I went back and listened to the end of, and I guess it was episode 8 of this Finding the Goodness of God series that I'm doing through Christmas of 2021. And I recognized two things out of it. And one I'm going to hit on here in a second. But the first thing was, as I began to speak, I intentionally took a deep breath. It was when I shifted from sort of the entry speak language into really digging into the scripture. I stopped and I took a deep breath, and then I was actually walking around in my house because, you know, you're supposed to walk to deal with healing and all that kind of stuff. And I can't necessarily walk outside yet. So I'm just walking around my house listening, and it made me stop and take a deep breath. And oh my goodness, I felt so much better in that second. And this goes back to the point of being oxygenated and physically oxygenated. But then as I move into the scripture, I feel so thoroughly, my heart, my soul, my mind, my body feels so full of fresh air that I'm able to think on a deeper level and discern what the Spirit will have of me today. It's interesting, which what I'm about to talk about is the second thing it's one of the things that I picked up on as I'm going along. But what I'm about to talk about is not even from this season. I sound like I'm rambling around right now. Excuse my words. So what I'm about to talk about, the scripture in Luke, is where the Lord has me right now. And this is about one of the things that I noticed that I was speaking about as I was walking around in my house, is that the benefit of the Holy Spirit is not something that we should just tag off like our benefits that we get from a job or something like that. It's just, we don't really think about it that much, but it's available to us. No, this should really resound in our spirit. And this, I believe, is what was going on in Mary's life. And this is what I'm studying personally this week in Luke 2, where you see like all this scenario where Jesus is born and you have the wise men and the shepherds coming, and all this busyness is happening around this baby in a manger. And you see in verse 19 of chapter 2, it says, "But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them." Then you fast forward to the end of chapter 2 in verse 51, it says, and this is right after like Jesus gets left in the temple, and they like journey away and they realize like, where's Jesus? And they have to go back and get him. And so right after that, it says, "Then he went down," this is talking about Jesus, "with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them." So after he had stayed in the temple and they're like, "Son, where were you?" And they're like, he says, "I'm doing my father's business." He became obedient to them. And it says here, his mother kept all these things in her heart. So what you see is all this busyness, all these crazy things happening. But Mary is intentionally being quiet and dwelling on these things. And you have to believe that this is not just because Mary's an amazing woman. And we'll talk about that in a couple weeks to come, how Mary was an admirable woman. But we cannot worship Mary because Mary is neither Jesus nor the Holy Spirit. But we have to recognize that the Holy Spirit, which has been around since the very beginning, and if you go back to Genesis 1:1 and you read John 1:1, you're going to see that the Holy Spirit has always been around. So you have to know that the Spirit was moving in Mary's heart, encouraging her to take a deep breath and look at what's happening all around her. In my own personal life right now, I keep hearing the words, this is what favor looks like. And I'm going to expand upon these thoughts a little bit and do a blog completely in and of itself about this. But favor is not just these big majestic moments. They are the moments where you are broken and tired and you don't feel good. Maybe post-surgery, maybe post-divorce, maybe in the middle of dealing with an eating disorder or obesity or a drug addiction or whatever. In the middle of that, when you are surrendering to the Lord and you can hear Him say to you in these small moments where you're like, I made it through the day. And He says, I did that. I did that. Now breathe and take that in. Take that into your heart. And as you breathe that in and you have a heart of gratitude, then suddenly your entire body is oxygenated, if you will, with Him, with His goodness. And so as we look at, and this is where I got my words jumbled here a second ago, as we look at where we were at the end of the week, last week, talking about the Holy Spirit is a benefit. This is not just some random, oh, good for me, it's on my checklist of benefits. This is the benefit that changes everything. And see, He gives to us what we cannot do for ourselves. And that's because Jesus came to make us free from ourselves. And He is the one, and the Holy Spirit who was left behind is the one who's doing things and speaking in and through us in ways that we could never even ask or imagine. And so, He is that gift that comes along with salvation. We see that He leads and guides and comforts and counsels us as we go every day, through every day of our life. So let's look here back at Romans 8:26-27. And Romans 8 has just been so powerful. I cannot stress enough. Dig in, dig in, dig in, and be changed. Not because, and if we go back to the very first week where I was talking about, not because this is some cape that you, some Christian cape you can wear as a super Christian woman. So you can say, I can stand against adversity and all those sort of things. No, this is speaking of Him. This is God the Father through Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit that lives among us. This is about Him. So as we read this, think of it in those terms. He takes us so much deeper than we can consciously realize. So listen to this. The Spirit also helps us in our weakness because we don't know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So, do you hear that? He actually goes before the Father on our behalf with unspoken groanings, telling Him what we do not have the strength on our own to say. I want to make sure that we understand this right here. There is so much power in an effective, fervent woman who prays. I mean, this is beautiful, but the power's not necessarily in her. I mean, the power is Christ in her. And there's sometimes that though, that super Christian woman who really does look like she's got it all together, not just sometimes, This is all the time. The Holy Spirit is praying through her things that she doesn't even realize because she doesn't even know to say them. This is what this is saying. And these verses bring out massive wonder in our hearts, but we have to make sure we understand this, like that we truly digest, we truly breathe it in. This is not saying that the Holy Spirit is asking God to fulfill your wildest dreams. He's not like, I've seen a lot of posts lately talking about God knows your dreams. He's going to fulfill them. Well, I mean, yeah, he pours out on us desires that only he can bring to fruition. They're only God's, they're doors that only God can open and only God can shut. That's true. But sometimes we Americanize that and we decide that it's going to be this amazing thing that can only be defined in worldly terms. And we need to define things on eternal terms, on his terms. And so the truth is that he is asking God to do his perfect will in our lives, despite our own ignorant desires and selfish requests, despite us. So as we begin to have desires over something, yes, we should say, Lord, I have this desire in my heart, but is it truly yours? And if it's not, will you, in all of your faithfulness, help me have perspective on it and give me and show me your perfect will and your perfect desire? Just look at, there's a verse here on my desk, this little thing that my mama left, and this is out of Psalm 119. It says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations." So since his word is settled in heaven, and since his faithfulness is unto all generations, then I can trust him to do what's next. Now, scripture shows us that the struggle to pray is not new to us. Now, this is obviously, as we have to shift gears and look, why are we struggling so much? It's long been a problem for the human race. It says in Matthew 6, and this is verses 5 through 15, and that's the Sermon on the Mount. This is where Jesus teaches the importance of being earnest in private surrender. He used what we know as the Lord's Prayer to lay out how prayer should be structured for us. And so he doesn't leave us guessing. He does give us a way, since there are things that we don't know how to pray. He's saying, I'm going to take care of this stuff that you don't know how to pray, but then there's also this way to pray. His example can be used, I mean, we can use it word for word, or we can use it as a general guide, but either way, prayer should be used to submit our grumblings and groanings. And remember, we're talking about grumblings and groanings a lot last week. And that is submitting them to his perfect character, nature, and his perfect will. And so there are questions that you want to ask yourself. And I, before I go much further, yes, I'm going a little longer than normal, because this week I want to step aside. And yes, because I don't think I feel well enough to keep recording podcasts all week long. But I want this to be a week where you breathe. I want you to breathe in the word of God, the will of God, the desire of God, saturating yourself and asking yourself, where is it that I'm not submitting to him in my prayer life and believing that he's going to take it the rest of the way? So this is the one and only podcast this week. So I'm going to ask you a few more questions and encourage you a little more. And then I want you to just breathe. So the questions: do you avoid prayer because you think you don't know how? Well, quite honestly, you don't. That's, praise the Lord, that's why he does it for us and then gives us an example. But praise the Lord also that he listens to us however we come to him, since he knows, in all of his mercy, he knows that we were never going to be able to save ourselves. He sent Jesus. And since we were never going to be able to have the right prayers, he left the Holy Spirit. So here we go. However you come, come. Next question: do you believe that Satan is using every method possible to keep you from communicating with God? And he really starts with the most simple. You're too tired. This is boring. You've got other things you've got to do. Your mind moves too fast. You just can't do it because this is your personality. God knows your story, right? See, Satan starts with the easy stuff. So you have to block those and pin yourself down. I was sitting with a sweet friend recently who was saying she makes herself get down on her knees, and that changes the entire thing. And that really blessed my heart, because that's the thing. And I had a sitting with another friend who said that she had to question herself, how often are what are the things that she in her life is not inviting the Lord into? So on your knees prayer, asking the Lord to show you where you're not inviting him in, that's a step number one in blocking Satan. You know, again, I say this over and over again, we do not have the power to rebuke Satan. However, we do have the power given through Jesus to draw near to Christ. And in his presence, his light obliterates the dark. And so that is the only way that Satan can't stand. He can't stand the light. So he's going to run from you, but it's only because you're in the presence of the light. So there. Next question. Do you trust that the groanings God put in creation, and we go back to last week as I was talking about that, and also the groanings that he placed in you are for a perfect purpose, higher than what you can see or understand? So could it be that the struggles that you're having in this world that Satan continues to try to pervert, or the groanings that you have in your life that Satan keeps trying to pervert and make his, are actually the Lord's, and they are for perfect purpose? And so it is worth you taking captive and making them obedient. More importantly, do you trust that the groanings of the Holy Spirit are perfect, that they're good enough to care for your need? These moments like this week, where this past several days, where I am not doing what I'm normally doing. I'm a workout girl. I am a high energy girl. I love to study the word. And quite honestly, because I felt so bad, I can do none of these things. But one thing that I knew in these moments, that the Holy Spirit is groaning for me, and that's perfect. And that is enough. It's okay if I'm not at the top of my game. The top of my game is his filthy rags. So thank you, Lord, that you've brought me even lower to make me even more humble, so that your Spirit can pray on my behalf. Take me out of the way so that he can be heard. Praise the Lord. Do you trust that? Another question. Could your confusion in prayer be that you do not actually trust God to be sovereign and good? Could this be what keeps you from asking others for prayer? That's a deep one to chew on. Do you believe him to be both? Or for those of you who do ask for prayer, since you struggle with trusting God to be sovereign and good, could it be that you use that time of prayer request as more of just a venting, a place to be validated, not really expecting your sisters to pray for you, but because does God really even do anything that you're asking him to do? It has to come back down to that point. Do you believe him to be sovereign and good? Do you even believe the Holy Spirit to be real? Because what does it matter if you don't believe in that? And so I encourage you, as you move into this next week, to take that deep breath and to recognize the Holy Spirit is not just some fictional, figurative character. He's real. He's valid. He's true. He moves. He works on behalf of the Father. He's changing you so that you can look, be holy as Jesus is holy, so that your heart can be like the Father's, so that your mind can be that of Christ. And so if you feel like there's any place in you that is lacking belief, ask him, because he's the one that gives belief, not you. You can't generate, you cannot manufacture. So ask him to pour that out on you. Ask him to breathe that into you. And in the meantime, I'm going to tell you what, lean back and ask the Holy Spirit to give you a spirit of praise, because the work is being done in the heavens for you. And so every time that you move into a place of gratitude, it edges out that doubt. It edges out that cynicism. It edges out those parts of you that are dark and untouched by the light of Jesus Christ. You know, there's some real confessions that can be made in these places, and we don't want to make these confessions. I learned through a book by Jen Wilkin, Women of the Word, and really studying. This gives a great breakdown on how to study. One of the greatest things I took away from that book is to confess in the middle. Where you really stand, like saying things like, Lord, I confess to you, I don't really want to be in my quiet time. I don't really want to be here. There's other things that I'd rather be doing right now, but I know I need to be here. So will you help me? These confessions are great. They actually open you up to the movement of the Holy Spirit, because that's humble, it's transparent, it's vulnerable, and it's making space for Him. I encourage you also to confess these spaces, things you're struggling with that may seem not that big of a deal. I wrote down some things here that I struggle with that I have to continually confess before the Lord, as I struggle with a desire to gossip. I'm cynical and easily offended. It's often my default response to insult my husband and children when others ask about them, as opposed to building them up publicly. And it's small stuff, but like somebody asks about them and you just cut them down. And why do we do that? Why do we cut people down? And I've really, over the past couple of years, have really worked hard at that. Because my insecurities are the places where I feel like I failed as a wife and a mother, should not and cannot be taken out on them. I also battle with desire to set aside what I'm doing and pray for others. There's certain people that I struggle to pray for, because I'm scared of what that may obligate me to serve. How it may obligate me to serve them in ways that I personally don't want to. And I'm being transparent right here, because what we need again is the Holy Spirit to pour out on us the heart of the Father, the mind of the Son, and that way we can live in such an effective way that the kingdom of heaven is expanded and many people are taking in that fresh breath. And y'all, and then we go back to that space with Mary, and we get to sit back in seasons where we don't feel good, in seasons where we feel fantastic, in whatever season we are in, and be like Mary, and we get to treasure up all these things, and knowing this is what favor looks like, because He did it all. Okay, friends, I know it ran a little long, but again, I want you to breathe. I want you to step back this week. Take time. Put away your phone. Put away your podcast. Put away Facebook. Put away extra time on TV. Put away and just spend time sitting in quiet, thinking about all the things that you've treasured up that He did. Okay. God bless you, friends. I pray that this has blessed you during your drive time, your walk time, your laundry time, your whatever time, however it is. I pray that God is glorified in your time. God bless you, friends. Bye.